This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praises are for Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them, and whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, my dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless all of you in this gathering. I ask Allah Ta'ala to increase our iman, and, you know, may Allah record us from amongst those who gathered to, you know, mention Him and, you know, remember Allah and remember the akhirah, inshallah. So the topic that I chose to speak about for this seminar was the topic on overcoming envy in an age of social media, because subhanAllah, I think many of you here would agree that one of the greatest reasons that so many of us feel far more insecure about ourselves and our lives than we ever did in the past is due to us, you know, living in this age of social media where, you know, we're constantly comparing ourselves to others that we see on, for example, Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, just online in general. Like, it is really a battle. Like, it's definitely more difficult than it was in the past, right? So that's why what I wanted to do today is basically just, you know, share some strategies that we can use to help ourselves overcome those feelings of envy or, you know, unworthiness that we often feel, so that we can, you know, in bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you know, rise above that, inshallah. So first of all, my dear sisters, we need to understand that, you know, it's normal to want to have the good for yourself, right? And Islamically, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wishing to have like what someone else has been given. There's actually a terminology for that, which is, it's called a ghibta, right, in Islam. And it's like a harmful type of wishing the good for oneself, right? But the problem begins, you know, if not only do you wish to have what that certain person has, but you then also feel pain in your heart, you know, to see them with what they have. And, you know, it gets to the point where you may even want it to be, you know, removed from them. So this is the disease of hasad, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically described it as a shaver of one's deen, you know, a shaver of one's iman. And subhanAllah, and in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, iyyakum wal hasad, you know, beware of al hasad, beware of making hasad or having jealousy. Fa innal hasada ya'kulu al hasanat kama ta'kulu an-naru al hatab. That, you know, that verily jealousy, it eats the, or it, you know, devours the good deeds, the hasanat, just like the fire, you'd see the fire, you know, devouring wood. SubhanAllah. So this is the effect that, you know, hasad or, you know, envy or jealousy, this is what it has on your heart. This is what it does to your heart, right? So if you allow this disease of hasad, you know, to basically take hold of your heart, where you have such, you know, bad feelings towards others due to what they've been given in this dunya, you'll find that over time, those bad feelings that you have can cause you to actually fall into all kinds of, you know, sins and even dhulm, you know, oppression of those whom you feel jealous of. And, you know, if you look, sisters, at the reason why most people get into backbiting or, you know, spreading fitna or, you know, going out of their way to tear others down, quite often the reason behind that is, you know, due to the hasad they have in their hearts towards that person, they'll protect us. So we have to realize that, you know, Shaitan will always come to you through the doors of your weaknesses. So if your weakness is, you know, being envious of a particular person or even some people, right? You need to realize that Shaitan will use that weakness against you in order to get you to fall into sins. So beware of those weaknesses, right? All right, so what I want to talk about today, as I said, is how to rise above feelings of envy. I mean, this is something we have to all be working on, right? No one, as I'm going to speak about now, is the first point I think that's important for us to get out there is that we need to recognize that feeling envious is a normal human emotion, and very few people are actually free of this. The difference, however, is how you respond to this emotion, okay? Will you have taqwa of Allah Ta'ala in dealing with it, you know, fearing Allah in dealing with this emotion that you're having, or will you allow it to overcome you and so you give into it so that you end up falling into sins, you know, due to it, all right? And Al-Hasan al-Basri from Tabi'in, he was asked about, you know, whether a believer can envy, you know, is it possible for a believer to envy, to have envious feelings? And so he said, SubhanAllah, what made you forget Yusuf and his brothers? I mean, Yusuf's brothers were believers, yet they still, you know, became, they still experienced envy, right? And we see that they, you know, had envy towards Yusuf. They had envy towards his brother, you know, Benjamin. All right. But the advice that Al-Hasan al-Basri gave is that if you have these feelings of envy, then what the way you deal with it is that, you know, you need to keep it locked away in your heart, right? You don't act upon it. Okay. As long as you don't act upon it, you won't be harmed by it. But if you, you know, as long as you don't act upon it by saying a word, you know, that acts upon that envy, or, you know, taking an action, then inshallah, you won't be harmed by that feeling of envy that you have. All right. So basically you can say that, you know, you wouldn't be accountable for the envy you feel as long as you are trying to, you know, basically, you know, do mujahadatun nafs, you know, like strive against yourself, and also not act upon it. Okay. So I just want to also mention too, there's three main causes that the ulama mentioned for why someone will feel envious. And I think that's important to understand, because part of the dealing with envy is to, you know, understand why we're even experiencing it in the first place, right? So one of them is that if you've had a fight with someone, that can end up turning into envy after that, right? So that each time you see good things happening to that particular person that you've had a fight with, you will find yourself, you can find yourself feeling upset when you see those good things happening to them, and you can wish that they, you know, what they've been given is removed from them. Okay, so this is one cause for people to fall into envy. Another cause for falling into envy can be also due to one's selfishness and ego, right? That you don't want anyone to be better than you, and you don't want, you know, good things to come to anyone except yourself, may Allah protect us. And this is what can be also referred to in, you know, our modern tech, you know, terminology. You could refer to it as the scarcity mindset. And I'm going to come back and talk about that in a while. All right. And the other thing that they mention for the reason why someone can feel envious of someone else is due to that person doing a similar thing to what you're passionate about or what you're doing. So if you've got, for example, two sisters in business or two brothers in business, you know, you will find that they're more likely to have envy of each other because they're both, or especially if it's a similar business, right? If you're both, you know, if there's two sisters who are interested in writing a book, I'm telling you, even students of knowledge and scholars will have envy of each other. It's just whatever, you know, when you find two people or a group of people, you know, with the same interests, the same passions, you're more likely to have envy for someone who's doing something very similar to yourself. Okay, so this is something to be aware of. Okay, the second point that I want to mention for, you know, how we can overcome envy is to realize that feeling envious of others doesn't have to be used in a negative way, right? The interesting thing is that you can actually use envy, or, you know, use these strong feelings that you have to, subhanAllah, help motivate yourself to move forward and further develop yourself. Because like I was saying before, like feeling envious, it actually shows you what's important to you. So you can actually work out, like, why am I feeling envious of that person? That thing that I'm envious, you know, that I'm feeling this envy for, it must be something important to me. It must be something that I'm passionate about, right? So if you're able to identify, you know, what it is that's important to you, then you can ask yourself, you know, what can you do with your own skills to work towards doing that, you know, something similar to what that person's doing, right? Because if that person, you know, has achieved that, then it also means that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I can also strive to achieve something similar for myself, right? So what we can say here is that, you know, instead of wasting your time, you know, hating on people, which will only, you know, prevent you from moving forward ultimately, right? Use the envy that you feel to, you know, motivate and inspire you to achieve your own goals, bi'idhnillah. Because interestingly that, you know, when you wish strongly for a certain thing, then subhanAllah, that can actually become a strong motivator that can help you also reach what you want to achieve too, inshallah. Okay. So basically what I'm saying here is, you know, just focus on whatever action, you know, whatever's in your capacity, like look within and see what skills, what talents. Everyone's got skills. Everyone's got talents, you know, look at what you've got and whatever you have, whatever resources you have around you, and use those, you know, whatever's in your capacity to help to improve your own situation, inshallah. Interestingly, if we look at the example of Zakaria, right, in the Quran, it's really interesting how when he saw the blessings that were coming to Maryam alayhi salam, okay, I mean, when he kept entering upon her in her mihrab, right, and he saw these blessings that constantly coming to her, and, you know, he's asking her, you know, anna laki hadha, you know, where are these blessings from? Where is it coming from? You know, and she tells him, huwa min indillah, you know, it's from Allah. Inna Allaha yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab, right? Allah blesses, or, you know, he provides to whom he wills without measure, right? And that inspired Zakaria to go and you know, take action for himself, right? And then he goes and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah ta'ala to provide him with offspring, because until now he hasn't had any offspring, subhanAllah. So what I'm showing you here is the fact that he used what was in his capacity to try to improve his situation when he saw what Maryam alayhi salam was being given. So look, obviously as well, we have to acknowledge that, you know, life is full of various obstacles and challenges, and not everything goes the way you plan, right? There's, like, even in my own life, you know, there's been plenty of times where I haven't been able to do what I wanted to do at that very moment. You know, like certain, you know, things I wanted to do earlier on in my life, I wasn't able to do it. Allah Ta'ala, you know, put other things in my path. I wasn't able to do it. But, you know, one of the greatest lessons that, you know, Islam teaches us is basically, I mean, that's what I love to share with others as well. You know, just don't look down on whatever role Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you. You know, try to focus on doing whatever he has, you know, basically opened up for you with ihsan, you know, with the, you know, just, you know, perfect whatever role Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you, right? We've all got different roles. Not to say you can't work into moving into another area, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes, you know, you have your mind to do something and then Allah puts other things in your path. And you just have to learn to just, you know, whatever Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you, you just have to try to, you know, apply yourself to that, as, you know, with the best intention for the sake of Allah, right? The other thing, okay, the next point I wanted to share as well was, you know, realize that with every blessing that's been given to someone, there's also a test that's attached to that. So, you know, we really shouldn't wish to have exactly what someone else has, because, you know, what might be good for someone is not necessarily good for you. And I think that comes back to the ayah in the Quran, you know, where Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun," right? Allah Ta'ala tells us that, you know, perhaps you may, you know, hate something, yet it's good for you, and perhaps you may love something, but it's not good for you, and Allah knows and you don't know, right? How many people wish to be given something like, you know, like someone else had, and then Allah may open it for them, and they fell into all kinds of fitna due to it. You know, sometimes you'll see certain people who were, you know, maybe good in their deen at one stage, and then Allah opened up certain things from dunya to them, and may Allah protect us, it was a cause for them to go astray and even become weak in their iman. So in fact, you know, if we see someone with something that we wish for ourselves, one of the best du'as you can actually say is like, "Allahumma as'aluka min fadlik," you know, "Oh Allah, I ask you from your bounties," you know, or to say something like, "Oh Allah, if it's good for me, then bless me like with what they have." Okay, but it's not a good idea to say, you know, "I wish I have what so-and-so has been given." You know what I mean? Because like I said, you don't know that if, you know, you were to be given exactly what they have, that you could be put to trial by that thing. And you don't also know what else is part of the package that comes along with that thing they've been given, you know, or even, you know, whether you would be able to handle the trial that comes with it, because there's always a trial in everything we're given. Every blessing we've been given, there's also a trial attached to it, you know. Actually, there's an ayah in Surah Taha where Allah Ta'ala tells us, "وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ," right? So in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala tells us, you know, don't extend your eyes, don't let your eyes stretch, you know, don't let your eyes stretch towards, you know, that which we have, you know, bestowed upon some people from the, you know, adornments of this worldly life, لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِي, that in order to trial those people, right? And Allah tells us, وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى, that the provision of your Lord is that which is best and everlasting. Okay, so, you know, one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala is telling us not to, or to avoid, you know, letting our eyes stretch towards what others have, is because when you allow your eyes to stretch to what other people have, it actually causes your heart to become attached to that, right? And then what can happen is that, you know, you start comparing, you know, what they have to what you have, and your mind becomes busy with it, you know. And Allah's reminding us in this ayah that لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِي, that, you know, first of all, it's only a worldly matter, and secondly, that, you know, this is only a trial, this is also a trial for them as well. So you have to realize that, you know, whatever blessing a person has been given, it's also a test for them too. And there's a burden that is also, that comes with that blessing, or that worldly, thing that they've been given. Another lesson we can also learn from this A before I move on is, one thing we can learn from this area is that, you know, if you're actually being put to trial by what someone posts about their life online, it's a good idea to stop allowing your eyes to stretch to what they have, you know. Cut down on how much you spend time online, because, you know, it can really start making you feel very insecure sometimes, you know, with the amount of stuff that's online, and then it looks like everybody's successful out there except yourself, you know. I mean, this is the reality. Don't, you know, avoid following those people who are like putting you to trial in such a way, right? But anyway, going on to some of the other points. So another thing you can do too is, you know, work on strengthening your iman, because obviously, if you think about it, you know, whatever the cause is that we mentioned before behind why you're feeling envious, but if you really think about it, it all comes still down to your heart being attached too much to dunya, right? Your heart is too attached to the worldly affairs and the worldly, you know, possessions, or, you know, the affairs of dunya, basically, right? And if you think about what you're actually envious of, right? You think about the various things that you're looking at someone and, you know, you're feeling envious about them. It's how often is it really for akhirah? I mean, who actually gets jealous of anybody for akhirah? You know, most people, the vast majority of people, what they're feeling jealous of the other person, you know, for is basically maybe their achievements, their popularity, their money, their house, their looks, you know. And what are all those things? They're all from the affairs of the dunya, right? So that's why, you know, the number one solution to this problem is basically, you know, to try as much as you can to empty your heart from feeling so attached to these things of the world, and instead focus on attaching your heart to the source of where all these blessings come from, who is Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in that, you'll find a great cure for your problem, inshallah. Another thing that is also related to that as well is increasing your iman in al-qada'i wal-qadr, right? Increasing your iman in the belief of, you know, how Allah does decreed everything, because having envy means that you're basically saying that person does not deserve what they've been given by Allah, right? So if you think about it, it's like you're actually questioning the wisdom of Allah in his giving, as if, you know, Allah Ta'ala has made some mistake, you know, in what he's given that person, and that, you know, that they shouldn't have been given that thing that they've been given. And if you look in Surah An-Nisa, verse 54, right? Allah Ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, right? And the ayah actually says, you know, do they feel envious of people due to what Allah Ta'ala has given them from his bounty? So, like, in other words, you know, do you actually question that which Allah has chosen to give someone out of his hikmah, out of his wisdom, and which, you know, he wrote for them to have 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth? So, you know, this is why I'm saying we need to increase our belief and submission to whatever Allah Ta'ala, you know, has decreed and written to happen. And another thing you fall into when you have, you know, envy for someone as well, and I was speaking about that before, which is called the, you know, scarcity mindset, where it's as if because Allah Ta'ala has given someone something that now somehow, you know, there's less for you, or you can't have it. You know, this is what you think to yourself, right? Of course, that's all shaitan, how he makes you believe that. So you can see that this thinking actually goes completely against the positive mindset that Islam gives us, due to us knowing the absolute and endless, you know, bounty and mulk of Allah Ta'ala, right? If you look at this hadith that's in it's a hadith Qudsi, in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that, you know, Allah Ta'ala has said that, you know, Ya ibadi, you know, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the, you know, the human of you and the jinn of you were to stand in one plane, right, and to ask from me, So all those, right? If the first of mankind and the last of them, from the jinn and the all of mankind, right? If they were all to stay in one plane and ask of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah was to give every single one of them whatever they asked, He says, مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَطُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ. Right? He said that it wouldn't reduce that is with me, except like when a needle is entered into the sea. You know what I mean? SubhanAllah. So in other words, you know, what does that mean for you? If Allah Ta'ala has given someone from His bounty, like how can we be thinking that there's not something, you know, but now that we can't have that too? You know what I mean? If Allah Ta'ala's bounty and His fadl and His blessing and His mulk, you know, is endless, and to that level where even if He was to give everybody in this dunya everything, it wouldn't even reduce, it wouldn't reduce from His mulk, even like when a, you know, needle is dipped into the sea, right? So can you see how, you know, SubhanAllah, that scarcity mindset is just completely against what our aqidah actually teaches us. Okay, so what I'm saying, you know, basically here is, you know, I'm just trying to show you how, you know, increasing our iman in Allah and, you know, in His qadr, in His you know, pre-decree, and, you know, reminding ourselves of the endless bounty that's with Allah Ta'ala, this is from the ways to help yourself overcome this feeling of envy of others, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Another thing we can do as well is, you know, focus on what we've been given instead of what we haven't been given. And this is a very important lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do, that, you know, he says, انظروا إلى من أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم, right? He tells us in one hadith that to, you know, to look to who is below you and don't look to those who are above you, right? This is in dunya matters. That he tells us not to look, when it comes to the dunya affairs or the worldly possessions, that we should always look to those who have less than us, not those who have more than us. Because if you keep focusing on those who have more than you, it makes you look down on the blessings Allah's given you, and you actually become ungrateful due to it. Okay? So you will find yourself, first of all, not feeling grateful for what you have, and you'll be overlooking what you have and not really appreciating what Allah Ta'ala has actually given you, because you're so focused on what everybody else has, right? And the amazing thing is that, you know, while you're so obsessed with what someone else has, there are other people in this world wishing to have, you know, just wishing to have the like of what you've been given. So that's the irony, SubhanAllah. So this is why we need to realize that, in fact, true richness is not found in worldly gains. Rather, it's the richness of the soul, which you can only get through having contentment and having, you know, sincere gratitude to Allah Ta'ala, right? And there's one narration in which the Messenger of Allah tells us that he says, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. So he tells us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that, you know, richness is not in how many or how much possessions someone has, but rather, you know, richness, true richness, is the richness of the soul, you know. And as I said, that comes from what? It comes from, you know, really just being content and having ridha of Allah, and, you know, and having shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have been given. The next point that I had down is to hate the disease of envy in your heart more than your wish for what others have, you know, and just to realize that the first person who actually suffers from this disease is yourself, you know, because when envy comes in the heart, may Allah protect us and help us to purify our hearts. It's like a fire that, you know, burns in a person's heart, and it basically corrupts it. And ultimately, the other thing is that The resentment and envy you feel in your heart does nothing to actually harm the success of the person you feel envious of. Because obviously, you know, your envy cannot change the qadr of Allah. It cannot change what Allah has written for a person. So all it does, it just leaves you having no feeling of peace in your heart or rest. So some people can become so obsessed with others that they can actually end up suffering from all kinds of waswasa, you know, all types of anxiety. Maybe they can't even sleep at night. This is where it can lead to, right? So we just need to realize just how damaging and pointless allowing such feelings of envy, you know, how pointless is that to allow that to overcome us? And this is exactly why we need to be constantly asking Allah Azza wa Jal to, you know, help us to remove this disease from our hearts. And also, you know, if you are feeling some envy for someone, you know, coming into your heart, how to treat it at that moment, you know, obviously seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala, you know, make istighfar, you know, say astaghfirullah, you know, so that Allah Ta'ala helps you to, you know, purify your heart and keep it clean, inshallah, from that disease of envy. But the very most, the most important thing here too, I just want to also mention, it's just really important that you don't go and act upon the envy, you know, as I was mentioning before, by saying or doing something to hurt that person that you have envy for. Because if you do go and, you know, speak about them or, you know, try to hurt them in some way, try to tear them down in some way, you'll find that that disease of envy is going to grow even stronger in your heart, okay? So acting upon it is going to make it worse. And one of the greatest remedies for tazkiyat an-nafs, you know, for purifying the soul, is to actually act in opposition to what your nafs is pulling you towards, right? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us, "Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi." That the nature of the nafs is it always inclines you towards what's evil and what's debased. So the way to deal with the nafs, and especially in the case of envy, is to practice doing the opposite of envy, which is, you know, to practice wanting the good for others and, you know, practicing to, you know, love for your sister what you love for yourself, basically, or your brother. You know, until it becomes a habit and a normal part of your akhlaq, like, so practicing it until it becomes part of your nature, inshallah. And this is exactly why you look at how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that, you know, whenever any of us admires something our brother or sister has, that we should actually pray for blessing for that person. Right. So that, and interestingly, he said, you know, pray for blessing for them. Right. Because that way, what you're doing is you're acting in opposition to the envy. And envy is about removing the blessing. So it's like you're doing the antidote of what envy is about. Right. And that's why we're, you know, we should say, like, you know, barakallah, you know, fiha, or, you know, barakallah alayha, you know, or laha. You know what I'm trying to say? So, making that dua for her, inshallah, or him, this helps us to, you know, to remove, you know, to ward off the envious feelings, inshallah. Finishing up, the last point that I'd mention here is, you know, to remind yourself of the reward for the person who's able to empty their heart from bad feelings towards others. Now, there is a story that's been mentioned about Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, although I must mention that the actual story is has some questions about its authenticity and, you know, but we can take the lesson from the story. So basically the story goes that a man entered into the masjid while some of the companions were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions that, you know, just now a man will enter you upon you who's from Ahl al-Jannah, right? And he was from the Ansar, and So Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, you know, he noticed that man. He was thinking, gee, you know, subhanAllah, this man's been, you know, mentioned that he's from the Ahlul Jannah. He's from the people of Jannah. And he was trying to work out what is special about this man. So basically, just to cut the story, you know, a bit shorter, he basically asks that man, can he stay with him? He wants to observe his actions to work out what is special about this man. You know, what has made the Messenger of Allah say that this man's going to go to Jannah? And, you know, he watches him at night. He doesn't notice him doing anything like really different in actions, nothing major that he's doing that could, you know, that he could see was could be a reason for why this man's been mentioned as being from the people of Jannah. And then, subhanAllah, what happens basically is that he ends up asking the man, you know, what is it? You know, the Messenger of Allah mentioned that, you know, he mentioned that, you know, about you, you know, being from the people of Jannah, and, you know, what is it that you've done to be, you know, mentioned as someone of this status. So he basically said that there's one thing that I do, and that is before I go to bed, I take anything out of my heart, you know, from bad feelings towards others, from jealousy. And so I try to remove that, you know, from my heart before going to sleep. And then Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, he realized this is what it was, that this person, you know, he's tried to do mujahadatul nafs, you know, where he's striving against his nafs. I mean, we all have bad feelings. It's normal to, you know, sometimes have bad feelings come into our hearts, but really, ultimately, you know, we want to meet Allah Ta'ala with a heart that is, you know, free of these bad feelings, you know, the qalbun salim, you know, like the heart that is free from, you know, having bad feelings for others, from, you know, having diseases in our hearts, you know. And subhanAllah, so the one who's able to do that, the one who's able to, you know, free their heart from that, I mean, can you see how much lighter a person will be? How much more they'll be able to focus on their ibadah, focus on their salah, focus on their connection with Allah, you know, feel the sweetness of reading Quran, feel the sweetness of praying to Allah Ta'ala, you know, whereas the one who is, you know, burdened by all these, you know, bad feelings in their hearts, you know, subhanAllah, it takes them away from being able to focus on what is, you know, so much more important, you know, as far as, you know, trying to get close to Allah and strive for akhirah, right? So I leave it there, my dear sisters. You know, I ask Allah Ta'ala, you know, to help us to, you know, overcome this disease of envy and, you know, any other diseases of the heart. I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us, give us tawfiq, you know, give us success, inshallah, in being able to, you know, overcome these vices. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to help us to, you know, meet him in the next life, bi'idhillahi ta'ala, with, you know, with pure hearts, which are free from, you know, any of these, you know, bad feelings towards others and envy and even from sins. May he make it easy for all of us, inshallah. It's a life journey. It's a life journey. It's not simple. But at least we have the tools to know what to do, how to deal with it, inshallah. And bi'idhillah, with the help of Allah, we'll be successful, inshallah. Wa subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.